Let's turn to Hosea. Hosea. We're in Hosea 13. Hosea 13, we got started here. We got through verse 2. Let's start with verse 1 again. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. The idea being, he's fearful, trembling, humbled, and contrite. And folks, for the umpteenth time, the way up is the way down, right? He that humbleth himself in the sight of the Lord shall be lifted up. But he exalted himself in Israel by speaking trembling. When he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. I pointed out in closing last time, only two places in the Bible where own understanding shows up. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That understanding there in Proverbs 3 is connected with wisdom. Now this own understanding here is connected with, I suppose, wisdom in the craft of making idols. Verse 2, they've made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. Your own understanding is not worthy to be followed. It at least comes in part from your heart. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So your own understanding is not a good thing. But again, those are the only two places that own understanding shows up. And then notice it goes on to say, according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsman. Okay, craftsman. And again, the Antichrist, if you'll go to Daniel chapter 8, the book before this, Daniel 8, 25. The craft of Acts 18 is the craft of making molten images unto Diana. And so a lot of this craft you read in the Bible is the craft of idol making and such. Daniel chapter 8, and go down to verse 25. And through his policy, the Antichrist policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. It wouldn't be surprising to see a rise in things like witchcraft and sorcery during the Great Tribulation. Therefore, if it's going to rise during the Great Tribulation, you know that there's going to be an increase in our day just before the Great Tribulation, right? So I think that it's fair to say you see that happening. Folks dabble in white and black magic all the time these days. Folks think it's fun, right? Back to verse 25. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. He shall be broken without hand. Now, I'm connecting here in chapter 13 of Hosea, verse 2, the own understanding, and by their own understanding, Proverbs 3, wisdom and knowledge, but my own understanding also the making of idols. And the idea that I'm trying to get across here is that if you just make one more turn here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were just here in Sunday school the other morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 2, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Now, we would have no problems connecting craft with witchcraft, with idol making and such. Do you ever stop to think that there may be the same kind of craft involved with wisdom and education matters and the training of our kids and educational institutions and such? Ever think the devil might be behind that? Well, we've discussed it in another forum. I just had never quite connected it with wisdom and craft. But there's a connection with craft there. Back to Hosea chapter 13. And verse 2, all of those idols are the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. So those calves of the Old Testament that Jeroboam authorized to be made and had made. Apparently those calves still have something going on in the future as well. And again, he's the anointed cherub that covereth. It's no surprise that in the conglomerate understanding, the universal mind of man, that there would be some God form that is involved that looks like a cherubim or a calf. When I say a cherub from the Bible, I'm not talking about a naked baby with wings, okay? I'm talking about a cherub. I'm talking about an ox face, okay? And those folks made those calves to worship. Aaron made a calf, not a dog, to worship. There's something in the collective consciousness of man that the devil, again, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And some of the stuff that folks come up with in art and such matters where they give their heart, they let their hearts go unreined and their understanding unreined, and they craftily draw or write music or write books or whatever, a lot of that stuff is demonic. A lot of that stuff is Satanistic, for what it's worth. Back to verse 3. Hosea 13:3. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away. The foggy clouds on the early summer morning, or the dew on the early summer morning, it's gone by 10 o'clock. If the sun gets high enough, it comes and goes real fast. As the chaff that is driven with the wind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. They're not lasting. Your life is as a vapor. Okay, verse 4. I'm going to break into something else here for a little bit. Verse 4, Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. A couple weeks back I made a comment about something proving the deity of Christ, and it's been a while since we've done a study on the deity of Christ. So I thought I'd take the option of taking a break here and going through some stuff on the deity of Christ. This is a good inroads to it, verse 4. I can say this. I mean, if there's one thing that men still argue about around the clock, it's the deity of Jesus Christ. There are people that consider themselves devoted Christians that aren't sure whether Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Now, I don't think Mormons are saved. I do not believe that Glenn Beck is saved. Okay? I don't think that JWs are saved. Whether or not somebody that you know got led to Christ and now has since gotten confused and never got squared away whether Christ was God manifest in the flesh, is certainly possible they're saved, I suppose. Because you can get confused after you believe. But if you stop and examine it, I don't know how you can be saved if you can't put two and two together and realize that Jesus Christ had to be more than a man to save you. His blood that he shed had to be some different kind of blood than I would shed for you. Okay? It had to be God's blood. So, especially for you, I mean, there are things that it's important that you know how to defend. You should be in pretty good shape if you listen at all to be able to defend the King James Bible. You should have some ammunition tucked away in the loopholes of your gun belt to be able to get to real fast. You should and need to be able to do that with the deity of Jesus Christ as well. I mean, eternal security, yes. Pre-trib rapture, hopefully. But the deity of Christ has to rank up there among some of the top things you need to be able to defend, right? Folks have argued about it perpetually, and I thought I'd take this opportunity in verse 4. There's kind of an entry point here that's kind of different than some of the other stuff that we will look at a little bit later. Notice it says in verse 4, he says, for there is no Savior beside me. Now, there's an interesting sequence of verses that I would take you back and forth, Old Testament to New. Look in, for instance, first of all, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And you just read, beside me, there is no Savior. Okay? Beside me, there is no Savior. Isaiah 43. And go down to verse 11. And notice a reiteration of that. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Okay? So, Jehovah God talking, right? Besides Jehovah God, according to Isaiah, according to Hosea, there is no Savior. Is that right? Okay, then, let's take a cross-reference to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The blessed hope verse, right? Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to me, when I read Titus 2:13, I mean, the verse says to me that God is our Savior, making Him Jesus Christ. You could, in a pinch, I mean, somebody could still say it's talking about the great God, one, and our Savior, too, Jesus Christ. But importantly, God said back in Hosea, God said back in Isaiah, that beside me there is no Savior. So who is this Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, folks, He has to be God, right? And if you can get somebody to sit down long enough and show you these sequences, there's really no way to get around it, really. If a Jew disconnects the New Testament as being illegitimate from the Old Testament of being legitimate, then okay, then they could wrangle their way out of it. But if somebody says they believe the Bible, and you sit down with a Christian that's no longer sure about the deity of Christ, well, beside me there is no Savior in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is our Savior. So there's no argument. Look at another comparison here. That's kind of cool. Look in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, and notice verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Now, just stop there for a second, because there's something else to follow, but I am God, and there is none else. Okay? Fair enough. But wait, look in Hebrews chapter 1. Now, Jehovah God said, I am God, and there is none else. And the JWs go, yeah! That's what I thought, see? She's a JW. No, I'm just kidding. And the JWs jump in and say, oh yeah, that's right. Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. This is a quote from Psalm 45, if you want to cross-reference it. But says verse 7, and notice what's talking about, verse 6. And again, when He, God, bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He, God, saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He said, who maketh His angel spirits, His ministers, a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He saith, God saith, right? Thy throne, O God. Here is God who said, there's no God beside me. I know none other. And then He says, Thy throne, O God. Here's God saying, Thy throne, O God, capital G, God. Well, who's it talking about? Verse 8. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even Thy God hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness. Capital G God, Jesus Christ, had a capital G God, God. It wasn't a small G God, Jesus Christ, who had a capital G God. He wasn't a lesser created God. He was a capital G God whom God said was a capital G God and said, O God, thy God hath anointed thee. Okay? Jesus Christ is God. God called him God. You understand? The God that said, there's no other God, called him God. He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. That, by the way, is reiterated. Drawing a blank on the verse right now. Look in Colossians chapter 1 real quick. Colossians 1. I love teaching the deity of Christ. I like it. There's just no answer for it. If you allow them to take you to the Greek and Hebrew and take your Savior's Godhood away from you, you deserve what you get. Because you've been taught better. And just don't let them do it. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. By Him, by Jesus Christ, the image of God, were all things created. Well, wait, I thought it said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, He did. He was Jesus Christ. And He's God. Verse 16. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is God. Now, with regard to the creation, this is what I was thinking a while ago and had a slight brain breach. Revelation, it was only slight, just hanging there. Revelation 3, this is a JW verse. They try to use this. You need to know how to handle this. And you just read that Jesus Christ in Colossians 1 was the one that created the heavens and the earth. And it says in verse 14 of Revelation 3, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And they say that means that Christ was the first thing that God created. Now, just reading Colossians 1, that doesn't work. Because Christ was the creating entity. Christ was the creator. Right? So it doesn't mean Christ was the first thing God created. That's how you know it doesn't mean that. What does it mean? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What does it mean? He began the creation. He is what began the creation because He was the creator, right? But JW has used that verse. Okay, we're back to Hosea 13 where it said, there is no Savior beside me. We've shown that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He does not conflict with God. He is God. We showed you that out of Isaiah 45. Now, while we're in Isaiah 45, there's something else I wanted to show you. Isaiah 45, 22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. But go on. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. To God, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, of the Creator of the universe, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall swear. Right? Okay, you know the verse, right? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, the name of God is not being cited at the white throne judgment. The name of Jesus Christ is being cited. And their knees bow to Him. You know why? Because He is God. Right? He is God. I don't know how you get around it. Let me show you a couple others. Look in Isaiah 44. This Isaiah 40 through 45, 48 is unmatched in the Bible of characteristics of God. And it's just, if you want to go see your God exalted, go read Isaiah 40 through 45 or 48 or so. But Isaiah chapter 44, and go down to verse 6, Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no other God beside me. But notice, I am the first and I am the last. Go down to Isaiah 48, 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, I am He. I am the first, I also am the last. Jehovah God is first and last. Right? Revelation 1. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 7, behold, He cometh with clouds. Who's coming? Well, God Himself doesn't come in the sense of God. The Father doesn't come back. Jesus Christ comes back. Who's coming? Christ is coming. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. So He is the beginning and the ending. I lost my spot here real quick. Verse 17. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. He laid His hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. No. God's the first and last back in Isaiah. No, God is. So now Jesus Christ shows up and says, I'm the first and last. So who is He? He's God. You can't get around it. He's God. All right, look at another one like that. Yeah. Well, it shows it's Christ. Amen. Yeah. But I don't have a He was dead for God in Isaiah. That's the reason I didn't. All right. Look in Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. I really should write bigger. Isaiah 48. Here's a good one. Verse 11, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my glory to another. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, but I will not give my glory to another. Okay? John 17. John 17. What we know is the actual Lord's Prayer as far as Him praying for us. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Wait, my glory will I give to another. But now you learn that there was somebody else that shared the glory all the way back there and got it again. His name is Jesus Christ, and the reason it's so is because He's God. Look in your Bibles in Revelation 21. And he said, "My glory will I not give to another." But Jesus Christ gets a ton of glory in Revelation. And it's plainly God's glory. He had to be God. Not one single time did God ever object and say, "You are lifting up my Son too high. Wait a minute, I'm God, not him." There was never an objection. God inspired the prophets to write what they wrote. Jesus Christ is God. Now look in Revelation 21, verse 22, talking about New Jerusalem. "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it." Well, God's glory He will not give to another, right? The glory of God lightens that city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So what is the Lamb? The glory of God. He is God. He's just God. Now, let me take you to a few more places here, a more classical continuation of the deity of Christ. Look in John. If you could remember a couple of places to take folks, these are very strong. John 5. John chapter 5. If you can remember John 5 and John 10, you will be greatly benefited. Now, if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon for long enough, they'll eventually get around to saying that Jesus Christ never said that He was God manifest in the flesh. They will get around to saying that Jesus Christ never said that He was God's equal. Now, that's not true. But Jesus Christ never said, "Okay, I am God manifest in the flesh," in those words. But He did say that. Or at least they understood Him to say that. Notice John chapter 5, and notice verse 15. We'll start there. "The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.'" All He said was, "My Father works." "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." Now, when the problem is you're dealing with Mormons who have commandeered the language, and they'll say that, I heard Glenn Beck the other day say that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He doesn't mean what you mean. They commandeered the wording, the phrasing. The JWs do the same thing. They'll say, "Yes, He's the Son of God. Yes, He was God's Son." They don't mean what these guys understood it to mean. Notice, when He said, "My Father," they wanted to kill Him all the worse because He had said that not only was God His Father, but He had made Himself equal with God. So, by their understanding, Jesus Christ did say, "I am equal with God." Right? Jesus Christ was God. Now, notice John 10, and there's the sister to that one over here, John chapter 10. And this is very valuable for Jehovah's Witnesses. Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And the JW screams, "One in purpose!" Jump in of it. One in purpose! "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." When Jesus Christ said, "I and my Father are one," he made himself God. He claimed that he was God by God being his Father. That's twice now he did that. Okay? Verse 34, and Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you're gods'? If you call them gods into whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Now you know this. When Jesus Christ said, "I am the Son of God," he knew full well that he was saying that he was equal with God. Because that's what happened in the passage. It's not one in purpose. He never intended it to be understood as one in purpose. He meant he and his Father were one. He was God, and God was him. There's a Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ is God. And if he wasn't God, he just shed a man's blood, and it doesn't do any better to save you than mine would. Right? So those are two real strong passages. Now, again, there are other classic places. I'm going to run you here for a little while, just close out the hour. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 9. Now, I know you know these. Just show you, so you don't forget them. Isaiah 9. And really, the deity of Christ is something that you can cover for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, probably. I'm not sure that we'll do that, but Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. So far, so good. Counselor." Ooh, the mighty God. The mighty God. Now, the new versions mess it up. They say Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, not the Mighty God. There's a difference between me saying he is the Mighty God and he's Mighty God. Okay, he is the Mighty God. There's no question that he was God manifest in the flesh. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ and the Father are one. He's the Everlasting Father. He's God. The Prince of Peace. Something flashed in my mind. I was going to show it to you, and then I forgot what it was. That's the way it goes. John 1. John chapter 1. Can you see the damage done by a bunch of dweebs that know Greek? And so instead of letting it stand as is, they're going to play around with articles and prepositions and stuff. See what I mean? Because they'll change it so it no longer quite says what your Bible says. And they'll use that as an excuse to remove the deity of Christ. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God." And there's some that will try to teach you that the Greek indicates that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, the Word was God. The Word was God. Look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John 20, 28. Doubting Thomas, no longer doubting. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Now, really, people, if Jesus Christ was intent upon glorifying God, and if Jesus Christ was not God, don't you think he would say, "No, stop right there"? Right? I mean, seriously. If Jesus Christ was intent upon glorifying God and he himself wasn't God, a man bows down before your feet and says, my Lord and my God. Now, wait just a minute, Thomas. Just get back up and let me explain something. I got some things to explain to you. No, my Lord and my God, and he let it stand. Jesus Christ was God. Look in 1 John 5. And I'm aware that there's probably a ton of other incidental verses, and you can find them as well as I can. You should not be timid about using what you find. 1 John 5. Some pages at the back of my Bible that are just kind of tissue papery. I can't flip through them very fast. 1 John 5, and go down to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given. Now, you know, now the Son of God means more than what JWs and Mormons think it means. The Son of God means he is equal with God. John 10, John 5, right? And we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Who? What is the true God? Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Yeah? 1 Timothy 3, the great battleground. 1 Timothy 3, you know it, I'm sure. Just don't forget where it is. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The JW's Bibles, which all come from New American Standard Version and NIV version and RSV version manuscripts, which come from Gnosticism, which come from Origen, all say he who was manifest in the flesh, which proves nothing. I'm manifest in the flesh, and I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm manifest in the flesh, and I'm sure not God, but God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached into the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. There's all kinds of textual proofs that the text, the Greek text that we have is right. We're talking about the devil using men to dabble in lies to remove the deity of Jesus Christ. It happens all the time. It's just wretched. It's godless. Okay? God was manifest in the flesh. Want to see one more? Look in John 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and down in verse 58. Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now look in John 18. John 18, 5. Who are you looking for? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell on the ground. Well, wait. Three letters in English, I am he, I am. What is that? That is what Jehovah said to Moses. I am. Tell them I am sent you. So when Jesus shows up in John 8 and John 8 and says, before Abraham was, I am, man, those